Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
Hi, Carl. This is Diana Deeney.
Hi, Diana. I was thinking of a topic that I'd love to talk about. I've spent a lot of time researching and applying over the years, and it's just a general discussion around creativity. And what interests me so much is that a lot of my colleagues in the engineering world, and the people I've known, and I've recruited lots of people over the years and worked with lots of people, tend to be more on the introvert side rather than extrovert. Mm-hmm. And sometimes need a little help on the creative side. Sometimes they're really good, but sometimes they need some help. And I think it's so important that we balance the technical skills with the creative skills to think outside the box or different ways of thinking. And I just thought that'd be fun to talk about because I know you've had experience in that as well. And maybe we could talk about things that work for us.
Yeah, of course. And there's a couple aspects there. You mentioned introverts. Introverts can be very creative, sitting on their own thinking. But then it's also different when you're with a group of people trying to be creative in a discussion, too. So those can just be, you know, a different toggle or different prompts for creativity.
Yeah, let's talk about our experiences on bringing out the best in people that tend to be introverted. And I'll just start by saying that in my experience on working with reliability teams and FMEA teams, I'm going to say probably maybe 60-70% tend to be on the introverted side, and a smaller percentage tend to be on the extroverted side. And so in my experience working with groups, if you don't make it safe for introverts to, let me say it in a positive way, if you make it safe for introverts to talk, to think and talk, because they do a great job of thinking, then you can really get some amazing interaction. But if you let the extroverts do the talking, then the creativity doesn't spontaneously come about.
Yeah. I mean, as you're describing this, one of the first things that comes to mind is just making space for everybody to be able to not only think, but then also contribute. So some of the ways that I do that is with sort of silent brainstorming. Everybody's independently writing down their own ideas, getting it out of their head, and then they share it. I found that that's been a good technique to help more the introverts be able to share their wisdom and their knowledge with the rest of the team to be able to initially start the creativity process with others. Mm-hmm. Do you use any of those techniques?
Yeah. Okay. So silent brainstorming, I've never heard it said that way. But one of the techniques I use is yellow stickies, which is almost the same thing.
Yes.
When I start in FMEA, I will always begin with yellow stickies. So I said to the team, we're working on the widget, and I know you're all widget experts and what have you and different aspects of widgets. But before we do the FMEA process, I want you to think about things you're concerned about on widgets, things that we need to do differently, things that we might have forgotten about, or things, anything that just comes to mind. And we're going to get those on yellow stickies, and we're going to put them up on the wall, and then we're going to keep those in front of us as we work. And it takes about half an hour, 45 minutes, and the walls get covered with yellow stickies of genuine concerns that people have. And then we'll organize them a little bit. These ones tend to be on this side and these on this side. And maybe these are failure modes, and maybe these are different aspects of FMEA if we're doing an FMEA. And so that idea of, it's almost like silent brainstorming, that I hadn't heard that term, But it's the same kind of thing where people can work on their own before they interact.
Yeah. And then you're also, you know, you're writing down your ideas and sharing them in a way where your ideas aren't being judged by the group, or you're not worried about what it is you're going to be contributing because you're not immediately comparing it with whatever everyone else is doing, because everybody's coming up with their ideas at once and then sharing it all at once. So it kind of takes some of the pressure away from introverts on presenting ideas.
Yeah.
And then it also takes some of the, it fizzles out some of the energy that some of the extroverts may have that want to present their ideas. So it kind of combats things from two aspects.
Yeah, they want to take over the show and present's a good word. They want to present their idea rather than just communicate it.
Well, along those lines, you mentioned at the beginning, you recognize that everybody's an expert on these widgets. Mm-hmm. And that can be a really good trick. I don't know if I'd say trick, but maybe method is just to put out there right away that, you know, we know you're experts. You don't have to prove yourself as being able to contribute in these ways, just kind of recognizing that everybody has a purpose there and that that's not something that they have to prove through their ideas, that they're actually just genuinely sharing whatever the topic is and contributing to the creative process.
Yeah, the other one that has been in the latter part of my career, it didn't come early. It came out of really wanting to get more out of the teams, just to make the teams the best they can be. I'll just call it Socratic method or questioning. And so when I start any teaching, I start by saying, this is mid-career. I didn't do this at first. In fact, let me back up on a story.
Okay.
Early in my career, when I did a lot of teaching, at the end of the day or the end of the class, I'd go around the room and people would have lots of things to say. Like, they may not have originated. Like, I'd go, any questions? And I'd go through a certain module. Any questions? Nope. Okay. Continue on. And then at the end of the day, any questions? No. So then I changed. And at the end of the day, I'd go, okay, I went around the room. Mary, how are things going? What are you learning? What questions do you have? Suddenly there's questions because there's some interaction. And so I learned to do that. Then I changed even more. And I said at the beginning of the class that I'm going to be questioning you as students. So it's all, and I make a safe space. I say what we discuss here. I want to be very safe and open, and I don't want anybody to feel like their questions are not valid, because that's the way we learn. And I'll give some quotes about questions and things. Then what I do is I might go at maybe 10 minutes of teaching, and then I'll say, Mary, how would you characterize that in your own words? And what's your thoughts about it? And she opens right up, everybody listens, and then I'll teach a little more, 10 minutes, and I'll go, Joe, well, what do you think about this? And I'll give him some question. How would you apply it? What experience do you have on that? And he starts bringing in his experience. I do that, and I actually have a chart in my, you know, little visual that I keep of the where people are sitting.
Okay.
So I make sure I'm going around and around and around. And so everybody gets 5, 6, 7 questions every day. I'm just going around in the room. And so there's a lot of interaction. And then what happens then that I found is that people, yes, they get involved with the questions, but then they're also opening up, and their creativity starts coming in better. And so that's a teaching technique. It's not necessarily an engineering teams technique, but it has worked good for me.
So how long were your teaching sessions? You said you got everybody to contribute 5 or 6 times. Was it like an hour long class?
Oh, no, these are like maybe anywhere from 3 to 4 days of 8 hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're long days, and like I fly in someplace and we'll be together for a few days. that kind of thing.
So, you know, with these engineering teams, they're usually pretty established. So they're meeting frequently over several times. So it'd sort of be like your classes where you have these multi-day sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Over the days, would you find that the team would kind of get into a rhythm with each other? And like in the first class, like you sort of set the expectation of contribution. And by the last class, you didn't have to prompt so much.
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah, they really get some momentum going. Introverts and engineers and even extroverts, they want to participate. The engineers that are introverted tend to do a lot of thinking, but their mind is they're actually thinking about the subject. They're just not verbalizing it. And the extroverts are verbalizing it sometimes before they think. They're getting out there pretty quick. And so slowing down the extroverts, drawing out the introverts is a big way, I think. But yeah, the momentum builds because people love it. They love that we're listening, and when we do an actual FMEA project, for example, then I'll go to, you know, I'll say, okay, Bill, haven't heard from you in a while. What are your thoughts about this and so? And sometimes they'll say, well, I'm not the design engineer, so I don't really have a lot to say. I go, oh, no. We want your input because we're looking for blind spots that the design engineer might have missed or whatever, and we want to hear from you. And so sometimes you have to work it in to get everybody contributing. But once you do, the creativity juices start coming in better.
And so you have to really encourage some people and not let them just skip their turn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Encouragement is key. And I'm not going around the room where they can anticipate where it is. I'm just randomly picking people. And you'd be surprised how much they pay attention to the subject.
A little bit of that might be stress.
Yeah, but it is. It's an interesting way to do it because otherwise, and I mean, I'll go further on this. It's a fun topic, but I'm going to say about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I stopped allowing computers active during class time. And it has been so successful, which is counterintuitive because people take notes on computers and what have you. But I found that particularly as in the later years when younger people are coming in, distractibility is higher. And I found that enticement, what's the word? The tendency to get distracted is so easy when the computer's up and they're connected to the internet. Some message will come on and they're just programmed to deal with it. And so they tune out a little bit on the class. When I start classes in my later last almost 12 to 14 years, computers down. Now you can have the computers at break, but I hand out notepads and pens at the beginning of class. So I'm really, really different than most instructors on this. And I make sure they get copies of the information so they don't have to take notes on that. When they do exercises, they're doing them on paper or on the chalkboard. Unless we have a group around somebody's computer, but it's only showing that FMEA or that project on their computer. So I do a lot of work to avoid distractions, and I get tremendous participation from that.
I can definitely understand the distraction part of it. Is there something you think, something to being tactile when they're working together? You said on the whiteboard, if they're, you know, drawing things together or like, you know, you mentioned the post-it notes, do you use that?
Yeah, the post-it notes and writing things on, like do your exercise and you're writing it on a pad, mm-hmm. and you're writing down the failure mode is this and what, and there's some of that tactile as well. being involved. But I'll get people huddled together on small teams, 2-3 people, and they'll work together. And either using their pad of paper or boot up their computer and use it, but only with the FMEA in front of them, that kind of thing. So I'd really try to avoid the distractions from work, getting into their classroom or into the FMEA itself. Same thing. We're doing an FMEA. I'll have a scribe. That person has their FMEA up and it's projected so that everybody can see it. Nobody else has their computer going and they can take notes and stuff like that. Because otherwise, I want their heads into it the entire time.
Yeah. Now, in industry, you might be an engineer that is putting together a meeting to host and you're inviting a couple managers. And that would be hard to say, hey, manager, put your laptop away because we're going to have. So how would be some ways that somebody could handle that in industry? Like I can see at the top of the meeting or before the meeting, setting up some expectations for not bringing devices or turning them off. But I would think in industry that would have to be something that everybody is on board with.
Well, I'll make a comment. First of all, I discourage managers in my training. Unless they're there as a participant, not as a manager. I don't want their manager hat in the meeting because particularly if we're doing an FMEA or we're doing FMEA training, the students will not speak up. They don't want to talk in front of their management.
Oh, so there's some power dynamic.
Yeah, there's a power
situations dynamic. Going on. Okay.
And so when a manager says, I'm going to come in, I go, okay, you're coming in as an engineer. You're not coming in as a manager. Unless I'm teaching managers, that's a different thing. Then they're all coming in as managers. And I've done a lot of that. But I have found the power dynamics to be almost overwhelming. It's so much easier to keep quiet and risk looking stupid. And sometimes questions, you have to be willing to say things that are ridiculous, and which is good. That's the way you learn.
So part of that safe space that you create is being intentional on who's in the room.
Yes. So those are some thoughts. And then on creativity, of course, brainstorming is a real technique. And I know you've written on it, and I've used it for years, and I have it part of my facilitation training. What is your experience on the effectiveness of brainstorming compared to other techniques?
I have not had very good success with it.
Okay.
With the open brainstorming.
Yeah.
Now, if it's the kind of brainstorming where there's like a quality tool, like a fishbone diagram, or a P diagram, or something like that, where it's some sort of a template or a model, and asking people to be creative and contribute in that way around with some sort of construct, like that kind of brainstorming works. But just to say, hey, we're having a problem in the lab, what are all the things it could be without anything? It's a mess. And it's not constructive.
You're talking about tools that make things visible. There's one diagram.
Yeah, it defines the scope. Yeah, it makes it visible. And it sort of predefines what you're looking for within reason. I mean, there still has to be a lot of room for people to generate ideas and share what they know. But just the open brainstorm. I'd even tried brainstorming, with computers. So you might not like this, but with a computer, like on a Word document or something, everybody's contributing at the same time, sort of like brain writing, but they're using a shared document. That didn't work out very good either.
Okay. My experience has been a little bit better, but I use brainstorming only under certain circumstances. So if we've basically, if ideas are not forthcoming, like we have an intractable problem. I'll give you an example. I was with a engineering team in Mountain View, and we were working on a laser system. Mm-hmm. And laser systems have glass and stuff. And the team had thought one of the problems is bubbles in the glass. And it's not an easy problem to solve.
No.
So we used brainstorming. But we had a very narrow problem. And the brainstorming was focused and it was not long. Start a brainstorming. Okay, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. End of brainstorming. Now we'll start evaluating the ideas. So there's a period of time where there's no critique, and then it ends.
And then we critique. Okay. Yeah.
That has worked. We came up with ideas. Well, okay, we could bring in an outside educational input, like a professor from a local university to come in and talk with us about this problem. We could bring, in other words, they're coming up with these ideas. And every once in a while, you get a gem that's underneath the surface that people had sort of self-censored that is a real gem. And so in that narrow circumstance, this worked for me. But I don't like to do it in general. Let's brainstorm failure modes. No.
Yeah, no.
There's an infinite number of failure modes on something.
Yeah.
And if you just brainstorm, you're going to get a lot of crazy things. So it has to be where ideas are not forthcoming or you're running into a difficulty. And then it has to be a time to start and finish and then a critique. At that point, I think it's sometimes useful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that defined beginning and end, and then, like you said, time, bound it with time. Yeah. Yeah. Let's, 5 minutes, let's, share our ideas or collect them all.
Right. Sometimes with the group, I'll draw what I'm looking for in creativity, because engineers tend to be outside in thinking. So I have some illustrations I use where you have here's the data you have, and you're trying to go inward to a result. Outside in thinking. Or you can start in the center and stimulate, and then you get inside out rather than outside in, people going outward. And I'll share with them what I'm looking for. I want you to think differently. I don't want you to narrow down what you already know and try to trade off study and figure out. I want you to think of things you haven't thought of before and stimulate it that way. So sometimes it helps to get the graphics and get people understanding what that creative process is all about.
Yeah.
Those are some ideas.
And I kind of hung on to something you said earlier about introverts and extroverts. Mm-hmm. It's about encouraging the introverts to get their energy, get their ideas out. Mm-hmm. Because they're holding them back. So you kind of remove the barrier. And then with extroverts, you kind of have to add a barrier so that they think through things before they share them, or just slow them down a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I like that.
Yeah, and I don't mind an extrovert that is on topic. It's when the extroverts go off topic, which they often do, or if they talk over people, or if they talk too long, things like that. It takes some time to gain experience in it.
And if you're facilitating, that's something you have to learn to manage too.
Yes. Yes, I have a whole module in my facilitation class on introvert, extrovert. Basically, I call it controlling discussion, which is the biggest problem facilitators have. Mm. My own surveys. I'll survey people, go around the room. What's the biggest problem you have facilitating? Controlling discussion. And that leads right into introvert, extrovert, because the extroverts tend to dominate. So, but I would be very interested if anybody listening to this, what are your thoughts and ideas and successes and failures on getting the creative skills and the creative juices of a team really going, or even one-on-one, if you're working with someone, just to explore creativity, different ways of thinking. I'd love to hear from people on this. I think we could learn a lot from each other, because it's not in there's not a lot of courses in engineering about creativity. There's certainly books, but not engineering textbooks. So it's not necessarily in the background of engineers. And I'd love to hear from people. Do you recall, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I don't recall some of the ways from on Ascendo that people can reach us?
Yes. Okay. Yes. If you go to AscendoReliability.com/go/SOR for Speaking of Reliability, there's a nice form there that you can fill out. You can give us feedback. You can ask us questions. And if you ask questions, we get them. And we get the comments if you make any comments on the podcast episode. And Fred and the rest of the team here, we look at the questions and we might address yours in an upcoming episode. So visit us and give us some feedback. And like Carl said, share your experiences. We're always interested to hear them.
Fantastic. Love to hear from everybody. All right. Well, nice talking with you.
Same here. Till next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.